Dragonfly Falling by Adrian Tchaikovsky. Read by Ben Allen. Book 2 of Shadows of the Apt. Chapter 1. The morning was joyless for him, as mornings always were. He arose from silks and beefer, and felt on his skin the insidious cold that these rooms only shook off for a scant month or two in the heart of summer. He wondered whether he could be accommodated somewhere else, as he had wondered countless times before, and knew that it would not do. It would be, in some unspecified way, disloyal. He was a prisoner of his own public image. Besides, these rooms had some advantages. No windows, for one. The sun came in through shafts set into the ceiling. 3 dozen of them, and each too small for even the most limber, fly-kindled assassin to sneak through. He had been told that the effect of this fragmented light was beautiful, although he saw beauty in few things, and none at all in architecture. His people had been building these ziggurats as symbols of their leader's power since forever, but the style of building that had reached its apex here in the great palace at Capitas had overreached itself. The northern hill tribes, left behind by the sword of progress, still had their stepped pyramids atop the mounds of their hill forts. The design had changed little, only the scale, so that he, who ought to expect all things as he wanted, was entombed in a grotesque, overgrown edifice, which never truly warmed at its core. He slung on a gown, trimmed with the fur of 300 moths. There were guards stationed outside his door, he knew, and they were for his own protection, but he felt sometimes that they were really his jailers, and that the servants now entering were merely here to torment him. He could have them killed at a word, of course, and he needed to give no reason for it. But he had tried to amuse himself in such capricious ways before and found no real joy in it. What was the point in having the wretches killed when there were always yet more, an inexhaustible legion of them, world without end? What a depressing prospect! That a man could wade neck deep in the blood of his servants, and there would still be men and women ready to enter his service more numerous than the motes of dust dancing in the shafts of sunlight from above. His father had taken no joy in the rank and power that was his. His father had run through life, never taking time to stop, to look, to think. He had been born with a sword in his hand, if you believe the stories, and with destiny like an invisible crown about his brow. The man in the fur-lined gown knew what that felt like. It felt like a vice around the forehead, forbidding him rest or peace. His father had died 8 years ago. No assassin's blade, no poison, no battle wound or lancing arrow. He had just fallen ill all of a sudden, and a 10 day later he just stopped like a clock, and neither doctor nor artificer could wind him up again. His father had died, and in the 10 day before and the 10 day after, all of his father's children, bar two, all of this man's siblings, bar one, had died also. They had died by public execution or covert murder, for good reason or for no reason other than that the succession, his succession, must be undisputed. He was the eldest son. But he knew that the right of primogeniture ran thin where lordly ambitions were concerned. He had spared one sister only, the youngest. She had been 8 years old then, and something had failed in him when they presented him with the death warrant to sign. She was 16 now, and she looked at him always with the carefully bland adoration of a subject, but he feared the thoughts that swam behind that gaze. Feared them enough to wake, sweat-sodden, when even dreaming of them. And the order lay before him still, to have her removed. The one other